Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome once again to Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with our guest, Ethel Dulac, Associate Director of Parish Stewardship and Development. How are you, Ethel?
I am great, thank you.
I'm very excited to have you with us. As a matter of fact, we had Ganda de Leon, who is the director of the office, with us a while back. So thank you for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Normally, I start off with an introduction. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm married, and I have two children, and I have three of the greatest grandchildren on earth. I've decided that that's what life is all about, is grandchildren.
Grandchildren.
Grandchildren. We have a very active life with them, and working with the church gives me the faith and perseverance to keep that family going, and I'm very grateful for it.
There's one thing about grandparents is that they can spoil their grandkids and then send them back.
Absolutely.
Is that what you do, Ethel?
Absolutely. I spoil them as much as I can.
Ethel, can you share with me your attraction to stewardship?
As my faith has matured, I really understand that stewardship is the basis for everything that we do. We live it, we grow with it, and we mature with it. Stewardship is being a good steward of everything that God has given us. And from that, those gifts, I am able to give back to Him in gratitude for everything that He has given. This gratitude is not something that is directed by anyone. It is a feeling of my sincere love for God and how He has given me the ability to live my faith by loving me, and I take that love into my family and my community.
I like how you put all that together by saying we live, we grow, and mature in our faith, and we give back to God with gratitude.
Yes.
On a daily basis, would you say?
Every day we get up, our morning prayer is in gratitude for having a glorious day again with our family and our community, and we have an ability to go out and live His good graces. From the time we get up in the morning until we say our prayers at night, we have an opportunity to love one another, to give back to one another, and to take someone in that is needy. We have opportunities that God created for us, and all we have to do is pick them up.
And say yes.
And say yes.
I recently did a confirmation retreat for adults, and one of my focuses was prayer, and how one should constantly be in prayer and in a constant conversation with God. So it sounds similar to what you're saying, and involving prayer in a life of stewardship. Would you say that a strong prayer life is an important aspect of stewardship?
Absolutely. Prayer is one of the aspects of stewardship. I actually go into the parishes and work with the pastors and a stewardship team to bring aspects of stewardship into the parish, to make it active, to make it alive. And usually one of the first opportunities that we deal with is our prayer life. We give the parishioners an opportunity to commit to their prayers and their prayer life for the year. It is great to see that the community of these parishes come together and they grow not only in their prayer life individually, but in their prayer life as the community.
Let's go ahead and talk then about your role. You mentioned that you go out and you visit with the different parishes and you interact not only with the priests but the community. What is your role as associate director in the office?
My main role at this time is parish stewardship. That means that I go into the parishes and work with the pastors to support the growth of stewardship, or to, I would probably say more so, enhance the stewardship, because all of them are practicing stewardship. Sometimes they just don't put a name to it. And so we try to go in and I would say maybe formalize it a little bit so that they are doing some type of stewardship event during the year. It may be stewardship of prayer, might be stewardship of vocations, where we encourage them to seek out those that are discerning, maybe the priesthood or the religious or the vocation of marriage. We, as married people, that is our vocation, the vocation of family. We also look at maybe the stewardship of the earth, taking care of what God has given us and taking good care of it.
So what people would say, being green.
Being green, being green. But also just taking care of it to not waste what we have been given.
I have a 6- and a 4-year-old, and I'm constantly telling them that we're not supposed to litter because we need to take care of God's earth. And they truly understand that. They really know what I'm talking about. You were talking about going in and perhaps formalizing stewardship because the parishes are already involved in stewardship. So is there an educational aspect to your role in the office?
Yes. Teaching stewardship is my role. I teach it from the standpoint of the pastor. Sometimes I teach it individually, one-on-one. We develop a stewardship team of anywhere from 6 to 12 people, and those become the stewardship force in the parish. There is something always going on with the stewardship team. They are the active component of the pastor's committees.
I remember I was briefly involved with the stewardship committee at Our Lady of Guadalupe here in Corpus Christi, and it was very good to be a part of people that are already active in the community, but with a goal in mind, and that goal being to enhance the stewardship of the parish, whether it's stewardship of families, vocations, the earth, stewardship of prayer. So it was very nice to interact with them and be a part of that committee. So then the stewardship committee at different points of the year focuses on the different parts of stewardship, would you say?
That's correct. There's a lot of different aspects. Most people think of stewardship with treasure. That is how it was brought to us, as the giving of the tithe. But when you look at time, the stewardship of time involves giving back to God through prayer. In other words, we all have calendars. We all have very busy calendars. And if we don't set a priority to say our prayers, sometimes they get lost on the calendar. So we teach time as giving back to God through prayer. Talents. God has given each of us so many talents. Luckily, there's many different talents because I don't sing and would never be...
Me neither, don't worry.
...be part of a choir. But I appreciate the time and the talent that the musicians have and bring to the liturgies in the churches. It enhances that moment so much for me. So I appreciate their talents. But we have many talents. We have people who can organize. We have people who can communicate with other parishioners. We have people who can take their talents into the liturgy and lead. We have talents of people who walk out of the door of the church, and they know that their talents involved being a productive citizen, a productive person in our community.
It's wonderful how you put that all together. The fact is that everything we do on a daily basis should be considered a talent and should be offered to God as part of our prayer.
Yes. Yes.
Ethel, we're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
Fathers Martin O'Hagan, Eugene O'Hagan, and David DeLargy are not only Catholic priests, but they are three Irish tenor priests. In the 5 years they've been performing in concert, they've experienced huge record sales, global fame, and recognition in the Guinness Book of World Records as the fastest-growing classical debut ever.
Your Cathedral Concert Series will present the priests, Irish tenors, in concert Sunday, November 24th at 7:30 at Corpus Christi Cathedral.
For VIP passes to this free performance, call the Cathedral Concert Series at 888-7444.
We're back on Labors of Love with our guest, Ethel. Ethel, before the break, you spoke about prayer, and I just want to elaborate a bit on prayer in order for our audience to be illuminated a bit. We have different types of prayer: prayer of praise, prayer of petition, and prayer of thanksgiving. And when you were speaking, it took me back to a time with one of my coworkers where he literally had to put on his calendar that he was going to spend time in prayer with Jesus in adoration. And on one hand, I was taken back because that told me his schedule was so busy that he actually had to put down prayer time. But on the other hand, it's good that he did that because he elaborated that no one would bother him during that time because it was on his calendar, that he was making a purposeful point to get away from his environment in the office and go and be with Jesus in adoration. So I like how you speak about prayer and how stewardship of prayer should be a very important part of our lives. Can you speak to that a bit?
Sure. We encourage parishioners to schedule prayer for the simple reason that sometimes we get so busy that we forget. And prayer should be a constant, everyday occurrence. We need to be speaking to the Lord, either in thanksgiving or in petitions. Whatever our need is, whatever kind of conversation we need to have with the Lord, we need to be putting that into action. Action of prayer, action of reading the Word, action of doing good deeds for someone else, action of taking care of business is the way I put it to many people, because we get so tied up in our work and maybe even our family and our community activities that God sometimes is not priority number one. And I see that my priority is to take care of Him first, and then the rest of the day will go along just fine.
Beautifully said. Thank you, Ethel. One thing you spoke about was your involvement in the parishes. You're actually the arm of the office that goes into the parishes on a daily basis. If you could give us a day in the life of Ethel Dulac in the parish, can you share with us from beginning to end how that works? In a nutshell.
In a nutshell. I travel from one end of the diocese to the other. I go to Falfurrias. I go to Aransas Pass. I go to Corpus Christi. I travel the entire diocese. I usually am in a parish 4 nights out of the week. From these meetings, we develop activities. As I said before, stewardship is the action team. If you take a parish who has a goal to bring more people to Mass, for instance, I will go in and work with that team. How are we going to get more people to Mass? What are we not doing, and what are we doing right? We go into that aspect of building community, building the faith community. Are we reaching the people who are not attending Mass? In other words, we would go over some ways, either mail-outs, visiting, talking to other parishioners, challenging them to bring someone to Mass with them, a neighbor or a friend who is not attending Mass. We have some specific things of, like, our stewardship of faith. We work with them in developing that aspect. From there, I follow them through the process. Then they are going to engage it. And from that engagement, they will see results. For instance, stewardship of prayer at one particular parish, one of the commitments was to attend daily Mass. Well, their Wednesday evening Mass went from 10 or 15 people to almost 100 people attending a Wednesday evening Mass. So I like to follow the process from the beginning and see what transpires and what the results are. From those results, the stewardship team will get excited because those results really brought something. They brought people. They brought prayer life into their own life and into their family life. They take those aspects and build on another one. Let's say they really have not had any kind of programs for vocation of marriage. We might develop a date night. And we will follow that through and see if the couples are coming to Mass and see if it has enriched their lives.
All of that sounds very exciting. So would you say that the stewardship committee on day one, after introductions, would speak about what the parish would like to see? Let's say goals.
Yes, I have them build a mission statement for the parish. And then a mission statement for the stewardship team to follow that mission. And then I encourage the other organizations in the parish to have a mission statement. In other words, how are they developing their activities? Are they developing them to enrich what is happening in the parish? Another aspect that I always do at the beginning is to ask them the question, are you a welcoming parish?
Which is very important.
It is. It is. Are you welcoming not only in the church at Mass? Are you welcoming people that you do not know? Are you introducing yourself to people that are new faces to you? I also ask them, are your organizations welcoming? Do they go after new members and encourage others to be part of them? From there, we develop these modules, if you want to call them, and we put them into action. My day will be going out and talking with the pastor, making sure we're doing what he wants done. Then we develop it through the team, and then we develop more, and we build, and we build on the community.
And you sit back and you enjoy the growth of the parish.
That's right. That's right.
Ethel, I work with you and your team on a daily basis. Can you tell us a little bit more about your team in the Stewardship and Development Office?
I have some marvelous people in my department. Condi De Leon is my, he doesn't like to be called the boss, so I won't call him the boss, but he is a great leader. Elizabeth just works so hard. She takes care of the Catholic Stewardship Appeal by keeping all of the records and supplying reports so that our office can be accountable to the people of the diocese for the funds that they are contributing and donating to the annual appeal.
Ethel, if anyone has any questions on stewardship or development, where can they call?
They can call the Office of Parish Stewardship and Development at 361-882-6191. Anyone in the office will be glad to help them.
Thank you so much for joining us. I pray that all of your endeavors and all of your parish work is fruitful, and hopefully you can join us again in the future.
Thank you. God bless.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's sacred moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Reading the comics became a family tradition for many American families over the past 100 years, especially on Sundays when most newspapers printed them in color. Many of us had our favorite strip, which we liked because it met us where we were at the time. As we aged and life took on new meaning, our favorite strip changed as well to better reflect our newfound outlook. One comic strip that many families related to was Little Abner. Eventually, a movie was made about Little Abner in Dogpatch, USA, where Abner lived with Daisy and the other characters, including Joe, whose last name was an unpronounceable mix of consonants. Joe was the most loving friend anyone could ever have, but he came with more than a usual dose of bad luck. Joe was considered to be the worst jinx ever. In fact, he traveled around with a black cloud over his head wherever he went. He was the original bad luck guy, a real melancholy man, someone you always dreaded to see coming your way. Most of us know someone like him. It might be a family member, or it might be us. Such people often go through life knowing little, if any, joy. They feel unlovable and question those who express love for them. For them, the glass is almost always half empty, and there is little hope that they will see it any other way. Sometimes they blame others for their woes. At other times, they may ask you what is wrong with them. They may think of themselves as jinxed or possessed, and torture themselves with self-doubt, seeking answers from many sources, including clergy, astrology, and palm readers. Unfortunately, they seldom look for the answers at the source, in that space above their shoulders where our thoughts originate. Thoughts which rise because we see life with dimmed eyes. It is with our thoughts that we judge the events of our lives, with thoughts that are shaped in part by our heart. If our heart is closed to love, if we fear intimacy with other human beings, it will be very difficult for us to be open to giving or receiving love. Such a person is seeking to live their life according to a set of false values which say, love is not possible, don't trust those who say it is. The end result is a negative view of love and life. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells us, the lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is sound, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be in darkness. If our way of seeing is through the lens of a heart closed to love, what can we possibly see other than a life of darkness? This gives rise to that little black cloud of despair and hurt that we carry through life with us. We want what is good, but because of the workings of our own mind, we turn away from that very thing which would fill us with joy, that thing which is love. Jesus asks us, can any of you by worrying add a single moment to your life? He continues, telling us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and that all other things will be given to you as well. May you be gifted with eyes at sea and a heart open to love, and may our Lord bless you with sacred moments to discover the beauty and love He created you with. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. I'd like to thank Ethel Dulac, Associate Director of Parish Stewardship and Development for the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have any questions on stewardship, visit with your pastor or call the stewardship office at 361-882-6191. Join us again next Sunday on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.
April 27th, 2014 is a very important date. It's not only Divine Mercy Sunday, it's also the date for the canonizations of Blessed Pope John Paul II and Blessed John XXIII by Pope Francis. And you can be there. Father Patrick Higgins, Principal Perry LaGrange, and students from Blessed John Paul II High School invite you to join them on an 8-day tour of Italy, including Assisi, Monte Cassino, Naples, and Pompeii, as well as attendance at the canonization of two popes. It'll be a pilgrimage to remember, as history will be made, and you can be there to see and hear it all. Departure date is April 23rd, and space is limited. So call Jane Longoria right away at Blessed John Paul II High School for complete reservation information at 885-5744.